ప్రాప్తసోపలభ్యతే. నాంతో న చాదిర్న చ సంప్రతిష్ఠా అశ్వత్థమేనం సువిరూఢమూలం అసంగశస్త్రేణ దృఢేన చిత్వా తతః పదం తత్పరిమార్గితవ్యం యస్మిన్ గతాన నివర్తంతి భూయః తమేవ చాద్యం పురుషం ప్రపద్యే యతః ప్రవృత్తిః ప్రసృతా పురా. తతః పదం తత్ పరిమార్గితవ్యం. తతః దేరాఫ్టర్ తత్ పదం పరిమార్గితవ్యం. తత్ పదం దేర్ అబోర్డ్ పరిమార్గితవ్యం హ్యాస్ టు బి ఇన్వెస్టిగేటెడ్ ఇన్ టు హ్యాస్ టు బి సాట్ ఆఫ్టర్. ప్రాపర్లీ ఇన్క్వైర్డ్ ఇన్ టు యస్మిన్ గతాః న నివర్తంతి భూయః. యస్మిన్ గతాః దోస్ హూ హావ్ రీచ్డ్ దేర్ భూయః న నివర్తంతి దే డు నాట్ రిటర్న్ అగైన్. So, as a result of Viveka, having developed Vairagya, the dispassion, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti, meaning the inner wealth, beginning from Shama, tranquility of mind, Dhamma, discipline of sense organs, Uparama, the abiding of the mind. Then, as we said, now one is ready for the life of contemplation. What is said here is said in the context of the conditions which prevailed in the Vedic times, where when the teachers used to live in remote places, because this teaching and listening and this spiritual pursuit certainly requires an atmosphere which enjoys a tranquility, a freedom from other disturbances. So typically a Guruji, a teacher, may be living in a forest, on the bank of a river, somewhere in the mountain, in a secluded place, a holy place, characterized by tranquility, by peace, by freedom from all worldly disturbance. That would be a desirable setting. Because the environment should be compatible to what it is that you are doing. So this is now going to be a life of contemplation. What is contemplation? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. The next step essentially is pursuit of knowledge. So by living intelligently, the life of activity, living intelligently meaning that applying viveka, having grown in the emotional maturity, having discovered a desire for knowledge, most important is having discovered a desire for knowledge. Then to satisfy that desire, you go where that desire can be satisfied, go to the teacher. పరీక్షలోకాన్ కర్మచితాన్ బ్రాహ్మణ నిర్వేదమాయాన్ నాస్తి కృతః కృతేన. యాజ్ ముందుకోపనిషత్ సేస్ పరీక్షలోకాన్, హ్యావింగ్ పరితహీక్ష, హ్యావింగ్ ఎగ్జామిన్డ్ ఆల్ ది వరల్డ్స్, ఆల్ ది అచీవ్మెంట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ సైడ్స్, నిర్వేదమాయాత్ బ్రాహ్మణ, ది కాంటెంప్లేటివ్ పర్సన్ డిస్కవర్స్ నిర్వేద, discovers a disillusionment, discovers a vairagya, discovers a dispassion. Nasti akritah kritena. There is an understanding, an insight into what it is that I want in my life. That insight is also important. one hand, inside that the jagat is mithya, meaning that the happiness or security which it appears to offer is not really there. That happiness, security is to be discovered from my own self. At the same time, an insight into what it is that I am seeking in my life. That I am seeking something which is eternal, permanent. I want happiness which should come and never go. I want unhappiness to go forever and never return. Niritishaya so atyandika dukkha nivruttihi, a cessation of dukkha or pain once and for all. Niritishaya sukha avaptihi, attainment of happiness, unsurpassable happiness. That's what I want. I not only want happiness, but I want a permanent, a sustained happiness. I just don't want little pieces of happiness, but I want happiness which is sustained happiness. At all times I want to be happy. At all places I want to be happy. I want unconditional happiness. That's what I want. So thus an insight into what it is that one is seeking. What's the desire behind all the desires? And that is to become free from all the desires. Because a desire is a mark or a sign or an evidence of inner incompleteness, inadequacy. And therefore, freedom from desire means being free from inadequacy. That's what I want. I want to be adequate. I want to be free from all limitations. That's what I want. And a further insight, that freedom from limitedness means limitlessness, that has to be an existing fact. It could not be something that is created. Akruta krutena karmana nasti. One cannot achieve by karma or by activity or by action, by effort, limitless. Limitless cannot be created. Limitless cannot be achieved. Limitlessness must be an existing fact. That limitlessness must be my nature. And that's what I want. So, that desire for achievement gets transformed into a desire for knowledge. Or a desire for freedom. Or a desire for happiness gets transformed into the desire for knowledge. That's a big transformation. You know, in the words of our Swamiji, a mumukshu becomes a jignyasu. Mumukshu, so moktumichuhu, one who is desires of moksha or freedom. Jignyasu becomes jnatumichuhu, a desirer of knowledge. So that's a very important insight. That no doubt I want to be liberated, I want liberation, I want freedom. I want unconditional freedom, that also is right. But the unconditional freedom should be my own nature. It has not to come from somewhere else, it has to be evolved or it has to be manifested from myself. Meaning, it is not something to be achieved, something to be known. That insight. That what I want in my life has to be accomplished by knowledge, not by action. Action is for achieving something that I do not have, whereas knowledge is a means of achieving something that I already have. Like the tenth man. He's searching for the tenth man. Any amount of effort of searching for the tenth man can never be successful because the one who is searching himself is the tenth man. And therefore, the solution to that problem is to know that I am the tenth man. Knowledge is the solution and not action. Similarly, in my life, knowledge is the solution. To know that limitlessness is my nature. To know that limitlessness is urdhva mulam. Now he is talking about mulam. Having examined the tree and developed a vairagya, having examined and ascertained that what is visible, the tree of samsara, is mithya, is unreal, is impermanent, etc. Having discovered a dispassion for that, and that should be equally accompanied by the passion for what is eternal. So that mulam. Now he is seeking for mulam, or the root, or the cause. A seeker of liberation, becomes a seeker of knowledge. By recognizing that what is limitlessness cannot be attained, it has to be known. It cannot be an object of attainment, because whatever is attained is always limited. Whatever is attained or accomplished as a result of an effort is always limited, because an effort is limited. So whatever we achieve through that also is limited. So limitlessness is something to be known. Tad vijnanartham sa guru meva vigacchet. That's a very important step. One becomes a seeker of knowledge. Now, when we say that no more action is to perform, meaning no more there is any need of performing action to become something, he realizes that I cannot become limitless. I cannot achieve limitless. All actions are a means of becoming something that I am not, achieving something that I don't have, but that was all based on giving reality to my sense of limitedness. So on account of giving reality to my sense of limitedness, through the desire to become limitless, I was trying to become limitless, I was trying to achieve limitless. That is a futile pursuit, because limitlessness one cannot become, one cannot achieve. Has to be my own nature. Is something to be known. Not so. Tad vijnanartham. When that insight happens, when the person gets transformed to a jignasu, to a desirer for knowledge, then only guru has a role to play. Then only the next stage of scriptures. So far, which part of Veda was relevant to him? The karma kanda portion of Veda was relevant to him. It is that which gives you instruction on how to achieve things. Now it is no more important for him. He comes to the next part of the Veda, which is Jnana Kanda section dealing with knowledge. Knowledge always is of something which is there. Knowledge is like light. Just as the light dispels darkness and brings to manifestation what is. Light does not create anything new. Light simply removes darkness and brings to manifest what was there, but I was not visible, not perceptible because of darkness. When the darkness is removed or dispelled by light, then I see what is. So knowledge also is comparable to light. It is because of darkness, because of ignorance, that I do not see the true nature of myself. It is ignorance that denies me the limitlessness of freedom. Nothing else. It is ignorance. And the false notions born of ignorance, they are denying me the happiness, the freedom, the security which is my nature. There is no other valid reason for unhappiness, as we discussed earlier. Only wrong notion born of ignorance, that is the reason. So when I realize that ignorance is my primary problem, that's a huge realization. That my primary problem of unhappiness or sadness or limitedness arises from ignorance. What separates me from limitlessness is ignorance, and there is no distance between the two. What is the distance between the tenth man who is searching for the tenth man? So seeker also is the tenth man. The sought also is the tenth man. So tenth man searching for the tenth man. A very strange situation. So what causes that distance between the seeker and the sought? It is ignorance. Ignorance which has caused the notion, I am not the tenth man. It is that false notion born of ignorance is what is denying him the ownership of the tenth man. He is disowning himself. Similarly, in my life also is ignorance that creates this feeling that I am limited. So I know that I am limited. Now that's a feeling created, a sense created because of ignorance. that sense that I am limited is the cause of all my unhappiness and nothing else. Never. Ignorance is the primary problem in my life. And ignorance has to go. Ignorance only can go by knowledge, by nothing else. Just as darkness can go only by light and by no other means. You can't take a bucket to, you know, to unload the darkness. You can't bucket to empty the darkness. You can't empty the darkness with buckets. Darkness has to be dispelled by knowledge. And similarly also, the ignorance has to be dispelled by knowledge. And thus, he becomes a seeker of knowledge. So who is qualified for knowledge? One who is desirous of knowledge. Tatah padam tat parimargitavyam. Tatah, thereafter, tat padam, that abode, parimargitavyam, has to be investigated, parimargitavyam, has to be jnatavyam, parimargam anveshanam, anveshtavyam. That abode has to be investigated into, has to be known. Padam means abode. That abode has to be known. Abode means somewhere which I want to reach. That's meaning that I have already reached that abode. Is what we call the praptasya praptehi, the attainment of what is already attained. The tenth man is already attained. And therefore, attaining the tenth man is the attainment of what is already attained. What is already attained, namely tenth man, however, who is separated by ignorance. So ignorance creates a sense of separation between myself and myself, and thus creates split between me. I become the seeker of something which is my own self, just as the tenth man is the seeker of the tenth man. Praptasya prapti. So knowledge is the means of attainment of what is already attained. The action is a means of attaining what is not attained. Knowledge is the means of attaining what is already attained, but then which is felt unattained because of ignorance. Tat padam parimargitavyam. Now you investigate into the nature of that pada, that abode, that reality. So there is an abode. Yasmin gataha punaha bhuyaha na nivartanti. Yasmin gataha. Having gone in which? Na nivartanti. They do not return. This is a contradiction actually. That you reach somewhere and you do not return from there, it cannot become. Because when there is gati, there is going, there is always coming. You cannot always go somewhere and not come. It cannot happen. So all the going is always followed by returning. Is it not so? Have you ever gone to a place from where you have not returned except your home? Wherever you go somewhere, you always return. Because that's not your home. Wherever you go is not your home. However wonderful it may be Hawaii, maybe 5-star hotel, whatever it is. But the time comes and you want to come home. So the rule is that wherever going is involved, say is here, you know. So sarvahi gatihi agatyanta sanyogaha vyogantaha iti. Sarvagatihi agatyanta, meaning that all the gati, all the going always is followed by returning. But here we are told yasmin gataha bhuyaha nani vartanti, having gone where they do not return. Either going and not returning is not possible. So there may not be a real going involved, otherwise returning has to be there. Yasmin gataha nani vartanti bhuyaha. Just as the bunch of key is right with you in your pocket, looking for it everywhere, and then all of a sudden you discover, oh, I got it. I got my keys. You did not get them really, you already had them. And still, this feeling is the same. The keys were actually lost and you got it. Then also you say, I got it. And the keys are not lost, but you are absent-minded, or your ignorance that you are ignorant that the keys are with you. And so when you discover that, then also feeling is the same, I got it. So yasmin gataha na nivartante, they do not return for sure. There is an abode reaching where there is no return. In that case, it cannot be an abode. There cannot be a reaching. If reaching is there, return has to be there. If you go to heaven, you have to come back. There cannot be an eternal heaven. If there is an eternal heaven, it cannot be separate from you. Eternal heaven cannot be a place, because there is no place having gone where you will not return. So there is a reason why you went there. Kshene punye marti lokam vishante. You went there because of the abundance of your punya or virtue. So you went there, you qualified to go there. But when those virtues are exhausted, you have to come back. You went for a vacation and stayed in a 5-star hotel because of a deep pocket that you have. But however deep a pocket is there, someday it will get exhausted. So anything that is achieved as a result of action has to someday go. Or where you have reached, you have to come back someday. That means that there is no reaching involved. If there is no coming back, there should not be reaching also. So as though reaching, as though discovering, as though getting, I got my key bunch. It's not real getting because you already had it. But as though, because of I was ignorant that I had, so removal of ignorance creates the same sense that I got it. Having got which, no more searching is required, because it was with you. So this is an abode, not separate from myself really, coming back to myself. Yasmin gataha na nivartanti bhuyah. Then why does Lord Krishna say having gone? Because everybody thinks that I am going somewhere. Everybody thinks that the moksha is something to be achieved. So just keeping that in mind, Lord Krishna uses his word having gone where. But then they did not return, meaning that as though having gone there, as though having this, I got the 10th man, as though got him, because he himself is the 10th man. I got my key bunch. It's as though God, because he already had it. Similarly, as though gaining moksha, as though reaching that abode. This is a journey from myself to myself. It's not a journey from myself to something else. Which self? The ignorant self to the enlightened self. That's a journey. Ignorant self thinks that I have to achieve something. The enlightened self knows that there is nothing to achieve because I am the very achievement. Ignorant self thinks that I have to become successful. The enlightened self knows that success is my nature. Happiness is my nature. Success is my nature. Security is my nature. Limitlessness is my nature. That knowing this alone is called having reached where there is not to return. See, if you get something, it will leave you someday. You know, whatever you get it. Even if you get a big treasure, someday it will go away. Anything that you get will always go away. Like a little child, you know, and then you hold it in your hand, you enjoy it, and then it wants to sneak out, you know. Ultimately it gets a little bored with you, or fed up with you, or now it wants to go to his mother. Sneak away. So whatever you acquire will go away. For something not to go away, you should not have acquired it. Meaning that it should have been already with you. It must be already you. Therefore, that abode is nothing but you. That limitlessness, having reached where there is nothing, nowhere to come back, that is your own self. Having discovered that I am limitless, now limitless cannot become limited. But Swami, you became limited. You are limitless. Then why? How? Swami, how did limitless become limited? these questions also arise. Swamiji, if I am limitless, how come I became limited? Then Upanishad tells a story that Ishwara in the beginning of creation created this world. He created all these names and forms and entered there. Like an actor who creates the costume, enters the costume. Then the actor who is multi-millionaire creates the costume, enters the costume and becomes a beggar. But Swamiji, why should the multi-millionaire become a beggar and suffer? For suffering he has done it? I guess so. That is an inexplicable phenomenon, by the way. How come the limitless became limited, or how come the limitless feels limited, is not an explicable phenomenon. Had it been explicable, it would have been real. That it cannot be explained means it is not real. Somehow, that's why answer is ignorance. This is all mithya. Is not real. The sense of limitedness is not real. Had it been real, we are obliged to answer you. Had it been real, it's not real. Why did a tenth man get lost? We cannot answer that question. Why? Had it been really lost, then we would have answered it. He's not really lost. How did Swamiji limitless became limited? How Brahman became Jiva? If he really became Jiva, then we would have to answer that question. But there is no becoming here. If Brahman has remained Brahman, somehow there is a notion that I am a Jiva in Brahman. How come there is that? Ignorance. Why ignorance? Well, there is no cause for ignorance. Meaning there is no cause that we can explain as to why the samsara is. No beginning. No cause. Adi also means both cause as well as beginning. And so don't struggle with this why and when, etc. Because all those questions can be answered for something that is real. As Swami Vivekananda used to say, that this man says, Swamiji, give me those $100 back. So when did I take you? In my dream you took those $100. In the dream I took $100 from you. Now in the waking state you want them back from me. But then I never took them because it's a dream. It's an imagination. Therefore, it is a dispelling of the imagination which is born of ignorance. So, parimarktave, yasmin gataha na nivartanti bhuyaha, having gone that, having known which, the ignorance does not come back. Once the light comes, darkness cannot stay a comeback. Similarly, once the knowledge comes, ignorance cannot stay a comeback. Thank God. Swami, you say that whatever comes has to go. So if knowledge comes, then it has to go. Well, it does not come. It is uncovered. The limitlessness does not come. It is uncovered. Only the covering goes away. Only the ignorance goes away. So there is no real attainment. There is no real becoming. There is no real achievement. And therefore, knowing yourself as limitless, you always remain limitless. Because you are limitless. Having known that I am 10th man, he is 10th man forever. Then 9th man cannot come back in light of the knowledge. Yasmin gataha na nivartanti bhuyaha. This statement, having gone where they do not return, itself says that this going is just a notion. There is no real going involved. Therefore, there is no return involved. What it is that they come to know themselves as what they were seeking. So, sayohai tat paramam brahma veda brahmayo bhavati. The one who knows Brahman becomes Brahman because he is already Brahman. Who knows the 10th man becomes 10th man because he is already 10th man. So, first line describes how it is ignorance that was depriving this person of the benefit of being limitless. Limitlessness by nature, I must be always benefited by that. Ignorance is depriving me of that. And therefore, I have to know myself as limitless. That's easy, Swamiji. That's very easy. Good, it is easy. Unfortunately, my own mind becomes an obstacle. Which mind? A habitual mind. Which has somehow concluded that I am limited. That notion of limitedness doesn't go away. Therefore, this process of knowledge also has to be pursued for a long time. तमेव चाद्यम पुरुषम प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्ति प्रसुता पुराणि. द नेक्स्ट लाइन लॉर्ड कृष्णा सेज व्हाट इज द मीन्स ऑफ अचीविंग द अबोर्ड, व्हाट्स द मीन्स ऑफ गेनिंग द नॉलेज. प्रपद्ये प्रपत्ति शरणागति सरेंडर. तमेव च आद्यम पुरुषम प्रपद्ये. I take refuge unto that Adyam, Adibhavam Adyam, that we always obtain in the beginning. That beginningless, Adyam is beginningless. To that beginningless, Purusha, Purusham. So Lord Krishna is the word Purusha. Purusha means, Purushayar means Purnaha. So Purnatvat Purushaha. Purusha means one who is Purna, who is complete, who is whole, who is limitless. और पुरुषः पुरुषु शयनात् पुरी शयनात् पुरुषः. द वन द इनडवेलिंग सेल्फ इज आल्सो कॉल्ड पुरुष बिकॉज ही इज डवेलिंग इन द सिटी ऑफ द बॉडी. सो वन मीनिंग ऑफ द वर्ड पुरुष इज आत्मा पुरी शयनात् ऑन अकाउंट ऑफ डवेलिंग इन द बॉडी ऑफ बॉडी इज कॉल्ड पुरुषः मीन द सेल्फ. और पूर्णत्वात् पुरुषः on account of being complete or whole, that means Brahman. So Swami would say that this one word Purusha itself is Mahavakya. Purushaha, Purushaha he used to say. One meaning of word Purusha, you know. Purushaha. That word is derived from Pur and Sha. So Pur means a city. Sha means to sleep. Purusha on account of sleeping, on account of residing, on account of dwelling in a city. What is that city? Hey, our body, mind, equipment itself is a city. It has various characteristics of a city or a town. Just as a city has, generally in the olden days, there would be a fort, you know, it was what we call the enclosed walled city. They would construct a wall around the whole city for protection. And there will be gates to the wall and to that fort of the walls. And when the gates are closed, there is no transaction at all. Nobody can come in, nobody can go out. At night, the gates are all closed. In the morning, the gates are open, all the coming, going, all begins. Something like that is there in our body also, in our personality, that there are 7 gates or 7 apertures or 9 gates or 11 gates. There are 7 gates on our face, 2 ears, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth, the 7 openings and the 2 apertures of the rejection of the urination as well as the excretion. So this is like a city of 9 gates. All these gates get closed at night in the deep sleep state. All the sense organs, all of them are completely, you know, closed, meaning that they get merged and therefore no transaction takes place in the deep sleep state. So just at night, no transaction takes place. Nothing, nobody going out, nobody coming in. Here also, the mind, everybody is inside. Nobody comes from outside, nobody goes outside. Wake up in the morning, all the gates are open, the mind rushes out, sense organs are going out, sense objects are coming in. All the chaos begins for the whole day when the gates are open. And these and many other features also of a city are existent in Baba. There are supposed to be highways, all sorts of things are there. So Yoga Shastra describe all the various features of city in this body. There is Sushumna Nadi, you know. So different nadis are there, Ida, Pingala, different highways are there. But anyway, so by some comparison, this body-mind complex can be compared to a city. But our interest in comparing the cities, whenever there is a city, there must be a king. Without the king, the city cannot be. In the olden days in history, it happened sometime that the king left the city, then all the subjects also went after him. When there is no king, There is nobody in the city. The fact that the city is there, it is functioning very well, it is throbbing with all activities, that means that the king must be there. King usually lives in a palace, detached from rest of the activities. He doesn't do anything. The king does not, there are policemen, there are all officers are there, all kinds of people are there, all ministers are there, they all perform the activities, they in fact take care of the functioning of the city. King does not do anything. In the presence of king, everything happens. So also, there is a king here, dwelling in the heart, that's a consciousness, that's a self, which is akarta, which does not do anything, in presence of which, or presence of whom, everything, all activities take place. The city expands, that doesn't mean the king expands, the city shrinks, the king does not shrink, this upadhi may expand, it may shrink, changes may take place. In the city, the changes take place constantly, but in the king, no changes take place, he remains changeless. So the changes take place in the mind, in the body, everywhere, but in the king, who is the consciousness, the self, no changes take place. Ashariram sharireshu anavastheshu avasthitam. One who is without the body, in the body, one who is changeless in the changing. Because of this, this imagery of a city is a very useful one to recognize how the king is separate from the city. The city cannot be without the king, but king is independent of the city. So also, this complex cannot be without the self, but the self is independent of that. Changeless, ever shining. That's called Raja. Rajate. One who shines is called king. And so the self always is self-shining, self-existing, self-complete. That one as though dwells. Swami, are you trying to say that the Atma is in the heart? No, as though. Heart means pure antashuddha antahkaram, the pure mind in which the self shines, in which the self is realized or recognized or known. So purishayanat, the consciousness, the self, on account of dwelling in the city, is called purushaya. You can imagine the whole universe as a city. In which case, is the indwell of the whole, is the self of the whole universe. That is called Brahman. Atma is Brahman. And Purnatvat, that self is Purna or complete. Tamevacha adyam adau bhavam. So that which obtains even the beginning, which is free from beginning. So everything has a beginning, but then he doesn't have a beginning. Meaning that when the universe begins when the cycle of universe begins. We said the universe doesn't have a real beginning, but they are cyclical. So there is creation, sustenance, dissolution, creation, sustenance. But Swami, you said that the universe has no beginning. But the scientists tell us that 13.5 billion years ago, there was a big bang and the universe came into being. What about that? There is only this cycle of creation. It's not the first cycle of creation. So this creation, sustenance, because they say universe is expanding. It will run out of steam someday. It will start contracting and go back to where it began. Then again it will start expanding and again going back. This is cyclical process. Meaning that a given cycle of creation has a beginning, has an end, but the creation as such doesn't have beginning. But then, when the creation begins, when the creation ends, one who does not begin, one does not end, is it not so? When all this pot had a beginning, the pot is sustained. When the pot breaks down, it will go back into clay. So clay existed before the creation of pot. It exists when the pot is. It will exist when the pot merges back. What is clay? Adau bhavam. Meaning, clay is always in the beginning. It has no beginning. Clay is permanent in this impermanent pot. So adyam purusham, beginningless. Purusham, the Paramatma. So that Paramatma who dwells in my very heart, who dwells in the hearts of all, who dwells in the city of the universe, because the who imparts this satta and surti, because of whom everything exists, because of whom everything shines, who is a true reality, the true essence of what is, just as the clay is the essence of the pot, so also one who is the essence of everything, the self of everything, and that is myself. But for day, I take refuge into that. This refuge in terms of knowledge means that I take refuge means what? I want to know him that way. Meaning that I begin by saying that I am Brahman. This investigation is not who am I. Vedanta's investigation is not who am I. Vedanta's investigation is I am Brahman. I am Brahman. That is the investigation. How can I, in what manner am I Brahman? So I begin from the statement I am Brahman. And then understand that statement. Not that I begin who am I. That inquiry will never lead you anywhere. What is the starting point? I am Brahman. You are Brahman. That's how the teacher starts. And then shows us how I am Brahman. Hey, you are not this body. Body is something that is you are aware of. And awareness is different from the object of awareness. You are not the mind. You are aware of the mind. Awareness is different from the object of awareness. So body, mind, sense organs, all of these are the objects of awareness. You are the awareer, you are the illuminator, you are the very awareness. This is what the teacher teaches for years and years. That's all they keep on telling us from the day one. So when we went to the course, you know, in Sandipani Sadhanalaya, then the Swamiji said, Puja Swamiji on the third day, I am telling you, Tattvamasi, you are Brahman. After, at the end of the course also I will say the same thing. Then what are we doing? It is that understanding becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. She gave the example of a Polaroid picture. So take a picture in a Polaroid camera. You pull out that frame. In the beginning, you see nothing. And then slowly, the features start manifesting there. First you see the outline. Then you see, hey Swamiji, hey, this is the eyes of a Swami. Oh, this is a beard, this is a face. This is, slowly features start becoming clearer. At the end of 2 minutes, it is completely clear. And so also. But then, by knowledge, this is Swamiji, Swami, that remains the same. Even when there is a faint outline, then I say, hey, this is Swamiji. And the picture is completely developed, then I say, Swamiji. My knowledge is not changed. What has changed? The clarity has changed. So that I am Brahman, that knowledge does not change. But then the clarity, what it means, keeps on changing. That takes 2.5 years, 3 years, 4 years, one lifetime, number of lifetimes, n number of lifetimes, because what is required is the obstacles this knowledge has to go, have to go. Our old habit of identifying with the body, those things come in the way of assimilating this knowledge. So assimilation always a process. Eating takes place in 15 minutes, but digestion takes number of hours, is it not so? Similarly, the listening takes place, then assimilation is a process. All along, I am surrendered to Ishvara. What is the surrender? Surrender is to accept Ishvara as myself. That's a surrender. Even though right now I feel that Bhagavan Ishvara is different from me. Swamiji, I feel that I am a jiva. I feel that Ishvara is different from me. Doesn't matter. But don't begin. Begin from this point, Ishvara is myself. Fake it till you make it. As Ramana Maharshi says, Veda Bhavanat Suhamityasavu Bhavana Vida Bhavanimata. Rather than meditating upon Brahman as different from myself, meditation on Brahman as my own self is purifying, is exalted. Therefore, Vedanta begins from the statement, Sadeva Somme Idam Grasit Ekameva Dityam. This universe was Brahman, one without a second in the beginning. Begins from Adhyaropa and Apavada. So teaches by the method of Adhyaropa and Apavada. So you say that you are Brahman, and how come you feel that you are Jiva? Let's go Adhyaropa. Superimposing the sense of limitedness upon the self is called Adhyaropa. And recognizing the fallacy of that and then getting rid of that is called apavada. Adhyaropa, apavada. In all along, So one of our students, you know, in Sandipani, when we were studying from Pooja Swamiji, one American student that time, this was in Bombay, he had a signboard on his table, on a desk. Swamiji is talking about me. He has to remind himself. And when he talks about Brahma, he's not talking about somebody else. Swamiji is talking about me. When we hear this word Atma, then also we always imagine as somebody else, or something else. Brahman, something else. We analyze something else. We forget that we are analyzing our own self. So this is called surrender. What is surrender? I surrender my jivatvam. I surrender my sense of limitedness to Brahman, and I surrender to Brahman by saying, hey Brahman, you are myself. Surrender involved in knowledge, you know. So this is the different kind of surrender. Of course, the surrender in bhakti also is fine. But in terms of surrender, in reference to knowledge I'm talking about. Rather than inquiring, or rather than investigating upon the nature of self, beginning from the point that I'm limited, and then trying to understand how I can be limitless, begin from the point I'm limitless, and then understand how I'm limited. That is called adhyaroma. Tameva sadhyam purusham prapadye. So ultimate surrender is what? Ultimate surrender is to recognize that I am Brahman. When the jiva is completely surrendered, meaning jiva no more remains, it was a false entity. Or you can say surrender. All along, surrender in our life is a means of knowledge. Surrender means bhakti. So bhakti is the means of knowledge. Tameva chadyam purusham prapadye. I surrender to, I take refuge unto, I surrender to, I bow down to that Adi Purusha, that Paramatma. Who is the Paramatma? Yataha pravrutti prasruta purani. Yataha purani pravrutti prasruta. Yataha, from whom? Purani, the primordial, the original. Ancient. Pravritti is activity, this creation. From whom this creation emerged. From whom the beginningless creation emerged, to that person, that Paramatma, I take refuge unto him. It makes sense. Lord Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Devi Hyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dhrityaya Mamevaya Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantiti. Lord Krishna says, hey Arjuna, this my Maya is extremely difficult to cross. Mameve Prapadyante. Those who take refuge unto me, they can cross this Maya. And so the Mahatma has given example of a fisherman. A fisherman throws out his net in the water to catch the fish. But the net is always thrown away from him. So those fish which circle around his feet, they never get caught, you know. The fish that is away from him, they get caught in the net. The fish that is near his water, near his feet, that never gets caught. And so also, Mameva Prapadyante, those who take refuge unto me, Maya Metam Tarandite, they cross this Maya. Maya is like magic, like net. This is net. Therefore, I take refuge unto Ishvara. I do not take refuge of this world. I don't take refuge of the tree. I take refuge of the root. I don't take refuge unto dharma, artha, kama. I don't take refuge of them. I take refuge of my moksha, the Paramatma. Mere to Giridhar Gopal dusara na koi. The Mira sings. Mere to Giridhar Gopal dusara na koi. My husband is only one. Who is it? Giridhar Gopal. Giridhara, the one who has lifted the Mount Govardhana. Gopala, the cowherd boy. Means Lord Krishna. Then that is all. Mere to Giridhar Gopal dusra na koi. And then she describes this Giridhar Gopal. How he is wearing his yellow cloth, yellow garment, having a flute in his hand. So this is how he describes. There is a kundala, there is a more pincher, you know, I mean, feather of the peacock feather. That is my husband, nobody else. So that's the surrender. Meaning that I do not accept anybody else as my protector. I'm not seeking anybody else's protection. I'm not seeking anybody else's refuge. Lakshishyati di vishwasa. He'll protect me. I have a trust that he'll protect me. He'll take care of me. So that is bhakti. So that bhakti is karma yoga. That's what is taught to us. Karma yoga is bhakti yoga. And therefore, the yoga of surrender to Ishvara, Ishvararva buddhi. So all along entertaining what we call Ishvararva buddhi is a buddhi, an attitude of offering to the Lord, self-offering. Thus, the ego is offered in two stages. One is karma yoga, where the gross ego of likes and dislikes are offered. Second is the knowledge by which the remainder of the ego also is recognized to be false. First, the ego is real, and we surrender the ego to Ishvara by doing whatever I do as in service to Ishvara. The gross ego, the ragadveshas go away. When the ego has become sattvic, become very subtle. The devotee ego, that's what I subject to the inquiry. What's the nature of this? I discover that is nothing, Brahman. So therefore, then jnanam becomes the second level. You can say that bhakti is the thing. Devotion is the thing. Surrender is the thing. First level of surrender is karma. Second level of surrender is jnanam. You can say that. Or jnanam is everything. First level of jnanam is karma. Second level of jnanam is, you know, is this knowledge. However you want to say it. Tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yatah pravritti. So this pravritti is a net. This net of the samsara has come from whom? I take refuge into him so that I am not trapped in this net. I am not trapped in the net of the maya. The second line presents this devotion. A surrender as a means of knowledge. But they said, surrender is, in effect, surrender in terms of knowledge. Surrendering ego, by recognizing ego to be false, so mithyatmam of the ego is a surrender of ego. And recognizing the truthfulness of the Brahman is the surrender of the ego totally. Okay, we'll stop here this morning. Continue our next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau punah punah Ishvaro Guru Atmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadhyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Siddhartmaji has a few words to say. Please remain seated.
Just wanted to inform all of you the upcoming events. International Jyotish Seminar is very much in progress. It began on the 1st and it will be there till the 10th. We have with us Gayatri Vasudev, Dr. Charak, Vinay Aditya, Yogi Kharve, all of them are here to conduct this seminar. This will continue up to 10th. So I told you last time they are discussing a number of important topics. Who will win the presidential elections? And economy of India, China, US, all that. If you are interested, please join. And if you have any birth time rectification or you don't have birth time at all, so Yogi Karve is available for that. You can contact them anybody on time if you are interested. That is as far as the ongoing the seminar here. I would like to give you a few other programs, outreach programs of Swami Dittatmanandaji. Arshvidya Gurukulam and Venkateshwara Temple Bridgewater welcome you to a free public discourse on surrender and freedom. This is scheduled to be held at Bridgewater Temple. Bridgewater, Venkateshwara Temple, starting from coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. So all the details are provided in the flyer. Please have more details. So, and the on 10th, that's on Sunday, Hindu organization of Long Island, they call Holi, they have arranged Swamiji's talk in Sai Mandir Baldwin at 10 o'clock, 10 to 12. Topic is meditation. And in the evening, the Hindu Temple Society of North America in Flushing, they have arranged Swamiji's talk in the evening at 5:30 p.m. The topic is Vairagya and Bhakti. And this Holi Hindu organization of Long Island also will continue one more day talk on Monday. Topic is Bhakti at 10:30 a.m. So those who are in that area, please attend. And the friends who are interested in looking for this kind of program, please inform them. And after that, Swami, you'll be leaving for Charlotte. If some of your friends are there who would like to attend these talks, please inform them. Swami, you'll be in Charlotte from June 15th to 16th. After that, 17th, Swamiji will conduct as usual third weekend Bhagavad Gita classes. After that, Swami will be going almost 10 or 12 days Bay Area trips, 18th through 27th. Swami will go to California and Salt Lake City and come back here. So very hectic schedule Swamiji has. And after that we'll have a July 1st to 4th Independence Day retreat. And we are scheduled to celebrate Guru Purnima on Wednesday, July 4th. Tentatively we have decided to start the program at 11 o'clock after all the retreat classes. So please try to come and attend all these programs.